Let's give the Lord another hand of praise for Allie. You know, I love to hear the testimonies and how God has done great things in our lives and has been able to change us, you know. And to be able to have that faith to believe and know the authority in our lives to be able to say to that dog, you stay away. We have the authority. We can command these things, you know. Speak it into existence. We don't because we don't have the faith to believe. So it's very awesome that God is working strong in your life and you're grabbing hold of His relationship and you know who you are. And that's the whole thing, is to know who you are. We need to know who we are. We're lost. The whole world is lost. They don't know who they are. That's where they're lost. They don't know who they are. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what they're here for. They're lost. And what kind of life is that? That's no life. But to know God and to know who you are, that's life. And this is the reason why we constantly try to bring teachings and messages for you to understand the importance of having a relationship with God. I say this all the time. God don't exist. God don't exist. He don't exist. You got to create Him. You got to bring Him into your life. He really does exist. It's like a person from some far land. He doesn't really exist. Pick somebody in India or Brazil or Asia or whatever. Pick somebody. He doesn't exist until you meet him. Doesn't exist until you actually get to see that individual and see who he is. And this is why I say God doesn't exist until you bring him into your life, until you introduce him to yourself. Say, hey, God, I'm here. I've been speaking a series, and last week we had a slight interruption of the message only because of reuniting a couple who was very dear to me. And it was a wonderful time. And those that, you know, were online listening last week, thank you for being a part of it. With that being said, I'm getting back into the series of messages that we've been speaking on. And what I've been speaking on is about fear. And there is two types of fear. There is an earthly fear, one that you actually are afraid of, in a sense of, worry and concern and rejection and the whole nine yards of about your life, basically. And then there's another fear, which I call is an eternal fear, and it falls to a point of love and reverence. And I want to bring kind of a conclusion to this message, and I hope and pray that this message truly works on your heart so that you don't just live your life flying off the handle, that you begin to realize that there is a greater power that is overseeing your life, and that we should have reverence to this power, and that power is called God. And I want to bring this conclusion to this message in the reverence fear of the Lord, and how we should fear God in a sense of, you know, knowing that He has judgment over our lives. There's plenty of scripture references of how even Jesus had the fear of God, saying, you know, Peter, you know, you don't have the mind of God, get away from me. I have to do this. And there was many times where he was tempted to not go on the cross, and he's like, listen, I got to do this. Not my will, but your will be done. There's many, many examples of how even Jesus had the fear of God in his heart. And we need the fear of God in our own heart because there's a judgment that comes. Has anyone ever been smacked around? And you've been smacked around because of no cause? Like, why is this stuff happening to me? Why am I getting whacked here and there and constantly falling into, like, trips and bounds, I call it? Well, there's a scripture verse here that I want to read and build on. I know that there was a time, I'm going to just use my own life as an example. I've been running from a call. It's obvious. So many years ago, my life was changed, very dramatic. And God brought me into His throne room. I had an encounter and met heaven. And through that, I was still trying to find out what my purpose was and what do I do with this. At first, I thought I was nuts. I thought I lost it. Then I met people in my life, and I met the pastors through this journey that are here in this ministry, and realized I myself had a call to fulfill. And God isn't going to take my life, change it, and He's not going to take your life and change it for us to continue to live the way we're living. We have to go with now His will and not our will. So if you're here today and you're those are there listening, God's changing your life and we have to connect with what He's doing. We can't live two lives. We can't live the old life and then think that we can live the new life still living the old life. We have to change. We have to come to a place of a commitment in our heart to change. Are we going to follow Him or are we going to pretend to follow Him? Are we going to confess with our lips and our heart so far from Him, or are we going to connect our heart to Him? And who cares what our lips say? You know, I say a lot of things and people have no clue what my heart is. If you see me in the natural, you would say, no way. That dude have a love for God, the way he acts, the way he talks, you kidding me? This guy? But no one knows my heart. My heart is meditating on Him day and night. My heart is constantly connected in His will. My heart is constantly in that place of intercession. It's like the ladder of Jacob, you know? Jacob's ladder, angels constantly going up and down that ladder. I feel like I'm up and down the ladder all day long. But it happened only about a year or so ago now, I don't know, where I felt that if I didn't go full time, if I didn't commit full time in my heart, despite all the others around me and, you know, encouraging me and stuff like that, but if I didn't do it, something bad was going to happen to me. I felt it in my heart. Something dramatic was going to happen, whether my kids were going to get sick or I was going to lose everything or, you know, failure of some sort or another, you know, illness on me. Something was just going to whack me. And I was afraid. I was afraid that I had to do it. So I made a commitment. I didn't like the fear that was on me. I didn't like it. How many people like fear on them? It's a horrible feeling to have fear on them. Fear of being alone. Fear of being rejected. Fear if they don't like you anymore or what have you. Fear of losing your friends or whatever it might be. Fear of losing jobs. Fear of losing loved ones. Fear of having, you know, illnesses come on us and stuff like that. And I didn't like the fear that was on me. But it was a holy fear. It was God saying, if you don't do my will, I'm going to crack you. I'm going to smack you around and crack you one, and you're going to know who I am. And I didn't like that fear. So I committed it. I said, yes. And when I said yes, I said yes. Where now I can't go back. Despite whatever happens, it don't matter. I just can't go back. I got to kind of look at Him and say, okay, now what? You see? I'm in your hands now. And you know what? The fear left. The fear left. If you are battling with fear, we might have to face it and find out where that fear is coming from. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Where's that fear coming from? I guarantee that fear is coming from a heavenly place. And we have to be able to be a discerner of that fear and face it. Why do you care? This is my question. Most of our fear comes from care. We care. Doesn't he say, like, cast your cares away? I think he's saying, cast your cares away so that I can set you free from fear. There's a verse here in Hebrews chapter 10. If you don't have any Bibles, that's okay. It's better to listen, to be honest with you. In verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." That's a very powerful verse. And I'm going to share with you what sin is. Sin is a conviction. That's why I say, you know, I'm not going to teach you any traditions, no laws, no rights and wrongs, no good and bad, because the law is written on your heart. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. My right and my wrong might be different, but you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know when you're teasing and when you're not teasing. You know when you're being a little itch and when you're not being a little itch. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. And when you begin to not listen to that conviction, when you know the truth, it becomes sin. You willfully now are sinning. And this is why I want everyone to begin to understand sin. You know, what is it to be one that walks without sin? I look at myself and I try to say to myself, I'm one that walks without sin. Not that I do good and bad, believe me. Things that I do, you might think are bad. Okay? But who are you to judge? Why I say I feel as though that I'm one that walks without sin is because I hear the conviction in my heart. If my heart is saying go, I'm going. Sam knows. We went to Africa and, you know, and over those convictions. I gotta go. Let's go. Overcoming fear. And then those convictions in your heart say, stay. Don't go. And you have to stay despite how you feel. You know, there's an emotion too that you have to put under your feet. You have to put away the emotions. It's like your will. We have to realize God's will and our will and be able to follow that conviction in our heart and obey it. And if we willfully know, see, it's almost like God gives you a free pass. You're able to go free for your first time. It's not counted as sin against you. You didn't know. It's okay. But when you know and you repeat it over and over and over, then it becomes sin. If you ignore the convictions, if you know that you shouldn't be doing this and you keep feeding your flesh, so to say, and you keep, you know, falling into it and keep doing it because you like it. How many people have ever fell into that little trap there? Come on, it's simple. It's always happening every day. I battle it all the time. You know, your flesh wants to go one way and your spirit wants to go the other. You know, spirit's willing, flesh is weak. And so it says here, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, that means that you shouldn't be doing it or you should be doing it, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. To me, that's scary. All of a sudden, I fall into that place of sin. I hope and pray that the fear of the Lord gets stronger and stronger and stronger in your life to purify you, to literally purify you, so that you don't do anything out of His will, so that you can be one without sin. Because God will convict you. God will lead you and guide you and direct you in your life if you allow Him. He will show you what you need to do. He will lead you and guide you and direct you by His conviction, by the way He stirs your heart. Sit there and ponder, and He'll begin to tell you. You know when you're doing something wrong, and you know when you're doing something good. Right? How many people understand what I'm talking about? And if we can just wait on the Lord, make Him our God, sincerely call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And if we say, Lord, Lord, help me. I stumble. I fall. I need help. Guide me. You know, if you humble yourself and call upon His name, He will save you. I know this for truth. This is the truth. You have to just exercise it. You got to give it an effort. You see, a lot of people don't know this because they don't give it an effort. They don't call upon the Lord. They don't wait upon God. They don't even ask Him. They don't even look for Him. They don't even cry out and say, where are you at? I got a decision. I got a decision to make, God. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And I'm not going to do anything until He tells me where I'm going, what I'm doing. I hope this is the same thing within your own life. That's called relationship. This is what it's all about, having a relationship with God. If we have problems, we have issues, no one can solve them but God. No one can deliver us but God. We can have people help us. We might get a little help from others. But who actually brings them to you anyhow? You know, God brings those people into your life. He's ultimately in control of everything. We might not think it, but He's ultimately in control. He even gives you the desires of your wicked heart. Isn't that crazy? Because there's a point where you might have a desire for something, and it may not be God's will, but you'll get it. Let's say I really can't afford a Maserati, but I really want one, and I find a way to do it, and I get one. I extended my credit, and I got one, and then next thing you know, I can't carry it because I can't afford it, and I lose it. You know, you can get your will. God will bless you and give you your will, only to find out that your will isn't going to last. Only to find out that your will is going to fail. Some way, somehow, your will is going to fail. God's, when He has a call on your life, He will get His will. I want us to establish the fear of the Lord today. I want us to really realize how important it is to show that reverence to our Creator. and to be able to be in a place in our lives to know that He's looking at you all the time. He's watching all the time. He knows every move you're going to make. But when we're not in His will, there's like this fiery judgment, like the big hand of God coming down and crack. I don't want that in my life. I don't want it. I fight too hard all day long. How many of us fight all day long? Well, let's be real. We're constantly fighting for the things that we want, the things that we desire, the things that we long for. It's a constant battle. Or if not, we don't live. We're constantly fighting. But who does the war belong to? Who's the battle belong to? The battle doesn't belong to us. We got to learn to surrender and then have that place of fear, that reverence fear. It's a good fear. It's not like a frightening fear. We should want to do His will. Because if we knew the truth will set us free. He granted us a great life. He's given you a great life. He didn't like create you to destroy you. God didn't create you to cause your life to be miserable. God didn't create your life to be tormented. That's not the God that I serve. That's not the God that I know. That's not my creator. My God says that He has created us to prosper us and to bless us and to have us multiply and be fruitful and, you know, blessed. Not to be struggling and fighting. And I think it's because we haven't come to a place of rest. We're anxious. We're running around in our emotional ecstasy. We're just like, showing all these emotions and running around with all these emotions and feelings and not really putting God up on that place of reverence. When you wait on the Lord, what's that cause you to do? It causes you to slow down, doesn't it? It causes you to look at the circumstances and, you know, weigh things out and kind of just allow wisdom to come, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we really want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, we want wisdom in our lives. We don't want to be running around like fools. We don't want to be running around like a chicken without our head and running all over the place. We want to be able to apply ourselves and get things done. How many of us like to do things twice? Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand redoing. You know, it's like this. You go to the store to go to food shopping, and you end up forgetting something, and then now you have to run back to the store. Oh, man, I hate that. But if you write everything down, and, you know, before you leave the store, you kind of check. Oh, wait a minute, let me make sure I got everything. Check, okay, good, good. All right, check, check, check. All right, good. Oh, wait. Oh my God. It came to me. I forgot eggs. I better go get the eggs. Oh, thank you, God, for allowing me to remember eggs. You see, everything comes from the Lord. Everything. Don't think that, you know, you just happen to remember. Nothing comes from us. Everything comes from above. But if we wait on Him, we'll be mounted up with wings like an eagle. We'll soar. Yeah! I got everything from the store now. And then we don't feel bad that we forgot something or what have you. Let me share something here. It says, Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Let's just skip over this. Oh, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he brought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Now this I want to come back to. Okay, they're talking about anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy. And that's like the law and things of that nature. But this verse I want to focus on. Oh, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's a scary verse. It's like this. You confess God. You say you love God. You say you're a Christian or what have you. You say that this is your God. And your lips confess. This is what this scripture means. Your lip confess, but your heart is far from him. That's a fearful thing. That's a fearful thing. It's better not even to say that you have a God. It's better for you to say that you're not even like a follower of Christ, so to say. It's better for you not even to confess the love of God if your heart is not there. How many people understand what I'm saying? Let's not deceive ourselves. You're either hot or cold. You're going to be lukewarm? I spit you out of my mouth. That's what he says. God says, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. The worst thing that we can become is a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to have to, put this facade on someone and say, oh, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about my God. And not have a relationship with him. Confess his name. It's almost like you confess his name and then you don't abide by it. There's like a judgment that comes on you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. This is the ugly part. I hate messages like this. These messages, I want to speak all the fluffy stuff, make you happy. Say, woohoo, yeah! God's going to give me the desires of my heart. I'm going to get $1 million. I'm going to get blessed. All my troubles will fall away and fade away. And yeah, woo! And hype you up every week and not tell you the truth. Why are these things happening in our lives? Why do we keep hitting walls? What is it? Why are all these things like cracking us? Why are we getting smited? Just because there's a bunch of fleas of devils flying around you? No. God is ultimately in control. He'll put the net around you to keep the fleas off. It goes deeper. It says here, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will pay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want us to understand God loves us. He loves us very, very much. But it also, he corrects the ones that he loves, right? Doesn't God chasten the ones that he loves? And he'll never give you more than you can handle. And I want to build some hope here for a little bit. Because if your heart is in that place and you're sincere to live according to His will, we're all children, okay? So God understands. He's not going to bring the mighty wrath upon you because you're a little child. But the little child starts to grow up. The little child starts to know right from wrong after a while. You know, I look at those that are young in God and young in the relationship. Man, they could trip and fall all day long, and I'm not even concerned about the judgment of God on their life. Not one bit. I'm not even concerned about God and His wrath coming upon them. The ones I'm scared of are the ones who have been confessing His name and knowing the truth, but yet willfully continuing to disobey His heart. That's when the wrath of God starts. Crack, crack, crack. How many people understand what I'm saying? Good. This is a wake-up call for all of us. It's a wake-up call for all of us. I want those that just are starting to find God and our Creator, not religion, relationship. Okay? The way I look at it is, because of this movement, because it is a movement, God has taken away religion and He's bringing a movement. And it's a relationship. So I look at it as we're all babes right now, really, to be honest with you. You could have been a Christian for 50 years, but never came into this movement, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this movement. We're living in the last days. And this is part of the last days, this movement where He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And this Spirit of God is creating relationship, not religion. How many people understand what I'm saying right now? Let me see that one. God is doing something, and He's doing something big. So I look at it right now as we're all babes. We didn't really know Him. We really didn't know Him. We could have been Christians for 20 years, 30 years, but did we really know Him? Let's be honest. You know what we knew? The law. The rights, the wrongs, the do's and the don'ts. Feeding the poor on Saturdays. You know? Being nice to your neighbor as yourself. We knew the law. But God is pouring out His Spirit right now. This is a movement. It's the beginning of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now. And it's not talking about do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. The message that God is bringing on earth is not good and bad, right and wrong. It's relationship. It's all about relationship. Where are we at with Him? Are we one? At the end, in the book of Revelations, what does it say? The Spirit of the bride says, come. The Spirit and the bride says, come. The wedding supper, come. Where they become one. You're going to see a harvest soon. We were raised up for the beginning of the harvest. I can see the Spirit of God falling on those that are called for this harvest. God desires relationship, not works. And the faith without works is dead. And that works that God desires is that oneness with Him, that communion with Him. We wake up, good morning. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Show me your vision. Who am I going to speak to today? Who am I going to see today? How am I going to declare your name? All that I do unto you. All that I say, everything that I breathe, I do to you. God is doing something, and he's bringing honor to his name. And one of the things that I believe he's pouring out is a reverence fear of him. A concern of judgment. God wants to bless you. God wants to restore everything. God wants to restore everything in your life. He wants to bring relationships tight, not separate. He wants to bring honor into your life. People disrespect you. Why do we do the things that we do? Because of disrespect. God's going to restore glory back in your life. You're not going to be looked upon as just some guy. God is going to do great things in your life as we begin to glorify his name in a way, in a subtle way. They're going to see something special. What is it? They're going to see it. They're going to know you by your fruit. They're going to see a good man, an honorable man. A man who walks with integrity. And they're going to say, surely God is with him. We don't have to be looked upon like hypocrites, confess names, and declare, you know, this image. We just need to walk. We just need to carry ourselves, let our yes be yeses and our no's be no's. Don't waver. Know who we are. We are children of God. He loves you. There's no need anymore to worry or fear. Just call upon his name. Lord, you know my heart. You know my needs. I'm going to lay them on the table. Be my God. Be my God. I truly believe if all of our hearts today says, Lord, be my God, he will be your God. And you make your request known, he will show you himself to you. God, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I knew you, but I guess I finally realized I know, not as much as I really should. I've gone through my daily day and maybe mentioned you in my heart once. Maybe I forgot altogether. I know it's possible. You can go through your busy day and completely forget that he's there. There was a gentleman that came to me one time and he had an issue, a personal issue. And it wasn't a healthy one. It was like a bad habit, let's put it that way. Very selfish, bad habit. And I said to him this one little thing. God sees you behind closed doors. God's watching you and looking at you behind closed doors. You can't hide from him. So when you're doing your thing, he sees you doing it. You're not hiding from anybody. Instantly, instantly set free. Because that seed was parted in his heart. And every time he went to go do his bad habit, holy shit! Am I allowed to say that? Kill all them religious cows. How many times have you said that? Let's be real. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's be real. The message is about intimate relationship with our Creator. Not how righteous I am, not how righteous you are. It's about relationship with our Creator. And He is there overseeing and watching everything we do. Jesus made a comment. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Him and His disciples and said, how come you don't wash your hands and clean the utensils and all this stuff, you know, before you eat? Jesus and His disciples looked down. Says, you might be looking at the outside. You don't know what's happening in the inside. What's happening in your inside? Do you know that He's watching every move we make? Every motive of our heart? Why do we do the things that we do? I want God to look down on me and say, well done, my faithful servant. I want God to look, you know, why fear man when he can't save you? Fear God who can save you. You know, we have thousands of people listening. Thousands. Live right now. Thousands. Maybe one person needed to hear that. Change their life. Doesn't it say become all things to all men to win them the more? Maybe there was one here that needed to hear that. Maybe I needed to hear it. Because God wants to reveal to us who we are. Do you know who you are? You are a child of God. So much power invested in all three of you. You can ask for anything you want and it'll be given to you. The desire of your heart. I'm going to prophesy this in your life because I can see it. God is saying to me to tell you, write down what you desire in your life. Write it down. You keep it to yourself. And you say, Lord, this is my list. And watch Him start fulfilling it. You're going to start checking it off. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Do me a favor. When you write it down, write down what you want first in order. Because you're going to get your list fulfilled as the order you write it down. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is because God is going to reveal Himself to you more so than He has ever done in your life. He showed Himself. He's been there in certain areas of your life. But I'm going to tell you right now, He's saying, I'm a jealous God, and I'll have no other gods before me, and He has a crush on you. And He wants you. Big time. Listen to my prophecies. Because when God moves me in a word, it will come to pass. Right, Sam? Sam knows. it will come to pass. And I'll only speak those things when he moves me to speak them. And for some reason, he does certain things to certain people to show himself only for one thing. Relationship. Relationship. There's a verse in Corinthians that says, you know, desire love, you know. Love is, without love you have nothing. But at the end it says desire prophecy. Because prophecy brings relationship. When you see God do things in your life, and he restores and brings things where it doesn't seem like it could happen, like you just did recently, doesn't it bring intimacy? Now you know him because of the special things that he's done for you and how he's ever going to increase. Be patient, because your business with your yarn is going to happen. Patience. Understand that there's a big war going on. And God is working things out that we can't see. Realize that over your own life. Be patient. Things haven't fallen apart. They're being put together. There is a war over your life right now. I see it. Huge. But God is being on your behalf. He's winning the war. He will win the war when our heart settles and is at rest. Prophesy. It will happen. Begin to prophesy into existence what is the desire of your heart. It will be. Yes and amen.
The Lord reigns.
The delay is the battle that we sometimes can't see. And there is a battle over you right now that is big. And the reason why it's big, because it's going to bring a lot of intimacy to the Lord. Relationship is the movement that is happening now. You're in the midst of a movement, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and God is using you. You're a minister. You're a minister to this outpouring of glory. Same thing with my life. There's a big war over our heads. Huge! One over yours. And they're great. These things are great. And they're attacking us sometimes, causing us to think negative. Every bad thought, cast them down. Every negative thought, cast them down. We got to begin to lift ourselves up. We are children of God. We need to lift ourselves up. Cast down the lies. Cast down the imaginations. Cast down all the negative thoughts. Cast them down. Because they're only there to destroy your hopes and dreams. They're only there to destroy the purpose that God has in your life. And it could be as simple as negative thoughts of relationships. Oh, they're never going to like me anymore. Oh, they're never going to love me anymore. Oh, they're going to love these people more than me. They're all negative. Who's to say what's going to happen tomorrow? God is ultimately in control of our lives. Amen? God is the one who rules and reigns over our life. We need to come to a place of realizing. Let's put him on the throne. I hope and pray that we walk with a fear in our heart, a good fear. My fear of God is a good fear, a way of wanting to please Him. Has there anyone been in your life that you've been wanting to please? Is there anyone in your life that you desire to please? Now, if you're taken away from pleasing that person, does it trouble your heart? Your heart becomes troubled. If you wanted to please somebody and someone said, no, you can't, your heart becomes troubled, right? I want you to see something. That person that you're wanting to please, you have exalted them. You have exalted them into a place. We should just want to please God and please Him only. This is where that saying comes in at. He's a jealous God and He won't have anyone else above Him. Do you know when we begin to exalt, we create gods? Could be work, could be spouse, could be husband, wife, could be children, could be anything. Anything we set above. Not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. We should honor one another. But let's put the main one in front. This is the moral of this story. It's good to exalt others and want to please and to do for them, but let's exalt the main one, the Creator, our God. Are we putting Him first in everything that we do? Are we putting Him first? You're here not by accident. You're hearing this because God is saying, I want to do greater things in your life. I want to do bigger and greater things. I want to give you your wish list. But if I'm not going to be exalted, why should I give you your wish list? Who are you going to end up glorifying? How good you are, get your pats on your back. When you glorify Him and you put Him first, when you get your wish list, you're saying thank you to Him. We tend to put works in our own hands and we tend to, you know, give ourselves our own credit. Has anyone ever fell into that place where you gave yourself your own credit? Look what I did. But if we can realize that God did everything through you, He gave you the vision, He gave you the ability, He gave you the strength, He gave you everything. That's pure honor. That's pure glory. That's pure Him. If we can have every head bowed for a moment. Father, I thank You, Lord. And I ask that You pour out this reverence in all of us. That this message isn't taken as a place of scolding, but a place of awareness. Where we begin to realize that You're always watching us. And You're always looking out for our best interest. And when we exalt Your name, You bless us. Let us look for Your blessings by exalting Your name in our hearts. Not necessarily outward manifestation, but in our hearts. Be grateful for all things. And know that you want to please us as we please you. Jesus said this, Father, glorify me as I begin to glorify you. Glorify me, Lord, as I begin to glorify you. Lord, I ask, glorify us here so that we can glorify you. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I feel that there's prophetic mantle that's just being dropped right now. And I'd like to prophesy into your life.